Welcome to Undercard Supercast, number Marcus Pouncey. I'm your host, founder, editor, and thankfully not a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, of Undercard Superstar, Luke Irwin. Joining me tonight, scheduled to drive by his window at full blast, 14 police cars, 8 garbage trucks, 3 weather choppers, a monster truck rally, a gay pride parade, 4 clown cars inside of each other, and a DeLorean going 88 miles an hour, Ben Cohn. He's our own first ballot creep, Connor Dillon. Now, since Jason Kidd and the Brooklyn Nets has such a colossal hiring mistake happened when he signed his undercard superstar contract to be here, Dan Galvan. Not because, unfortunately, what I said earlier, he's going to dress Margarine up as a clown in 4 clown cars who deliver the final fatality to me, Earl Montclair. His name was Nolan. He was a showman with fancy insults in his tweets, but no one to call him sweets. He wanted Hyatt, thought she was a riot, but that order was just too tall. She went down under a wall, and now he's headed south to find a friendly mouth. He is young, and he's got a bus pass. Who could ask for more? He is Nolan, the trolling Nolan. He hates Rhonda and Helwani. Yeah, he is Nolan. Nolan Howell. And Taylor Engel will not be with us tonight. Dateline, Cooperstown, New York.
That was amazing.
Thank you, sir. That was awesome.
Much obliged. Gentlemen, thank you. You shouldn't have. Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame class of 2014 was announced today with Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, and Frank Thomas, my childhood idol, going in. Since currently mixed martial arts does not have a physical Hall of Fame, we're creating one by gum. So the first thing we need in a Hall of Fame are Hall of Famers. We each sent our ballot with 5 names to producer Connor Dillon, and he has the official 5-person tabulation of what we have come up with. Connor, if you will.
All right. The top 5 as follows, with 9 votes, Mr. Chuck Liddell. Yeah.
Mm.
And
first,
the next
first ballot?
The next with 19 votes, Mr. Fedor Emelianenko.
More like it.
Yeah, now we're heading somewhere. All right, with 20 votes, beating out Fedor with just 1, Senior George St. Pierre.
Woo! Woo!
All right, and this was actually a really close one. I wasn't expecting this, but with 24 votes, Hoyce Gracie.
Boo! Yep.
More or less.
Did I spell Marcello wrong?
Maybe, Nolan, maybe. And taking the lead spot with 25 votes, once again, beating off Hoyce Gracie by 1 vote.
Ben Cohn?
That's going in the highlights. Mr. Broken Leg himself, Anderson Silva.
I in.
It's normal.
Mm-hmm. Surprised by that.
Ben, you did not submit a ballot.
I did too.
No, he texted me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. Well, okay, I had all 4 of those names. Who had Liddell that high? Show yourself.
Okay, in protest.
Jesus.
Velasquez is number 1 pound for pound fighter in the world, guys. Let's keep that in mind.
Hey, okay. All right, go ahead.
Don't worry. Defend your Jack Morris vote. Go ahead.
All right, yeah. In protest, I just had Chuck Liddell in all 5 slots. No, I probably did have Chuck Liddell too high. I didn't have George St. Pierre on my ballot, not because he wasn't worthy, because he's kind of young. And next year, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But because he was so young, I feel like I wanted to get some guys who are retired on the ballot.
So second ballot then?
Definitely. But I like to not make sense when it comes to calling people first ballot Hall of Famers. With Chuck Liddell, to me, he represents the UFC period that we have. In between the one we're in right now and the one we were in, like the Hoyce Gracie, the dark days. To me, if you look at the guy who really represented the UFC was like a star, you know, a real superstar. I think Chuck Liddell is the guy that's in the forefront of that. And with him being retired, having had such a successful reign as a light heavyweight, granted when he dabbled in Pride, there were definitely a few miscues. But to me, he is the guy that was the UFC during that time period. And for that, I think he's worthy of being in the Hall of Fame.
I would say Chuck would probably be a second ballot for me. Mm-hmm. I could see it. On my ballot, I actually included Zuffa as a whole.
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily Dana, not the Fertittas, but I included Zuffa. I think they got my four spot.
Hey, Ben, what was your ballot?
I didn't know we were allowed to include non-fighters.
I sent it out in an email, but you didn't really respond.
Reading's
a hard
one.
That's why I texted you.
My five were Poist was number one. I had Anderson 2, GSP, Fedor, and then Brock.
Believe it or not, Brock was actually named twice. Here are some of the names that were put in ballots. Helio Gracie, Randy Couture, Kazushi Sakuraba, Frank Shamrock, Brock Lesnar, and Zuffa. Those were the other people that got votes. Or other
Frank Shamrock
entities.
Is a first ballot? That's interesting, and I actually like that.
If we're going outside the UFC, like if there's a special exemption for you need one non-UFC member, man, even though he was UFC champion, it's hard to overlook Boss for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
No, he would be a second balloter.
I would have to put him as second.
We'll never know his full true potential. I mean, you know, if he competed in Pride, then
I think it's better that way because he's more myth than man, anyway.
I don't know. I think he could have put out a lot of good, you know, performances in Pride.
I think if he would have trained most of his career as a top level camp, though, he would have been so much better. Because a lot of his career, he was just training his.
Well,
off,
back
so.
Then there wasn't really a lot of top level camps. There was
that's
Hammer
what I'm
House,
saying.
There was Shoot the Box, Brazilian Top Team. There, I mean, any of those would have taken him so far out of his.
Well, there was what was the top Dutch kickboxing camp at the time?
Golden
Mikes.
Glory, right?
Was Golden Glory around back then?
I think
it was before Mikes.
I don't think Golden Glory was around back then, was it?
I don't know.
Actually, he probably could have gone to the Pit too. The Pit was that now was still a little. No, I think the Pit was
there
right
was
around
the
that
pit,
time.
Lion's Den. I think he spent some time with Masakatsu Funaki.
He trained him.
He did
train with him, and then you know he eventually ended up wanting to prove himself against him, which is one of the most brutal MMA fights in history. Mm-hmm. Boss against Funaki. I'm trying to think who else. Man, Brock. But no, I mean Boss. If Boss had gone to Pride, I couldn't handle seeing him get like starched by Crow Cop or Vanderlei or Vovchanchen. I prefer my boss the way he was.
Mm-hmm.
Except those two losses to Ken Shamrock are always going to be a little.
You know what annoys me is
that well,
he tried
that
to
was
set
when
it
Ken
up
was like
Pride.
Really good.
What's that?
That was when Ken was really good.
And they tried to set it up in Pride, but Ken like refused. He was like, I don't need to prove myself.
They
anymore.
Tried to set a lot of boss fights up in Pride. They tried to set him up with Vanderlei under mm-hmm. K1 rules at a Dynamite, I believe.
I think that would have been fun.
Thought he's set to compete in one of the early prides as well, but I'm not sure against who.
I think they tried to hook him up with Hicks and Gracie, actually.
Yeah, I heard they offered him a ton of money for one fight. I don't know. Was it Mirko?
It might have been Mirko. I heard they wanted him to fight Fedor as well, no? At one point. But Boss always teased it. At one point they actually said, Boss is coming back. He's coming back.
They were talking about Fedor.
Boss would have got thrown around.
Yeah.
Like a rag doll.
Yeah.
Well, as
I don't Fedor, but I think he could have been four or five.
I would take that, yeah. I mean, he was probably, you know, he was the heavyweight champ in the UFC. He could have done some damage there. All right, so we've got our Hall of Famers now. We've got our bronze bus. Now, where should this mythical MMA Hall of Fame be located, Ben?
Ooh. We gotta go to Vegas.
Ugh.
I know, Earl. I know. But I mean, it is the Zupa headquarters, where Zupa is. It's where it's where it would get the most attention, probably. Being as MMA is so big in Vegas, and I think that's like if you're going for the most, because it's not like Cooperstown where people are going to go visit to see the MMA Hall of Fame, you know.
If it gets big enough,
yeah.
If, but that would take a long time, you know. I think if they want to get the most people there right now, and get it the most attention, and have it grow, I would say Vegas is probably the smartest place.
Connor.
Yeah, I actually have Vegas in the same place as well, mainly for the same reasons Ben said. It's the location of so many big fights, and I just can't see it being anywhere else because, you know, Vegas is really the fight capital of the world, and I guess I could see some arguments being made for it to be in someplace in Brazil, Japan, or even somewhere in the Northeast, but... to me, it's got to be in Vegas.
Daniel?
You know, Vegas is the option that comes to mind first. Although, when it comes to a Hall of Fame, it seems like it's not in that kind of place. You know, it's kind of... It's in a more obscure place, like Cooperstown, Cannon. And with the MMA Hall of Fame, you know, you could go, like, in a hometown. And I think it should be in the United States, since the UFC is... The monopoly, it's the UFC's world. I think Denver, Colorado, maybe. That's obscure enough. It's a huge city. That's where the UFC ran its first two shows. And you can really cultivate a UFC following in Colorado, a place I don't really attack too much on the show scale. And it's also a place that people would go vacation-wise for skiing or whatnot.
Well, you could walk into the Hall of Fame high as hell and just watch fights for 8 hours straight.
I was about to say the reason why they don't have many fights there is because they get fights like Ben Rothwell and Travis Brown.
Well, they have like
altitude's a problem.
Altitude is a huge problem.
Mark Hunt versus Ben Rothwell.
People aren't going to pass out walking through the Hall of Fame, but. They'll eventually.
Well, now they might. But
yeah, now they might. They got the flyweight division, the women's bantamweight, the women's strawweight. It's fine.
Dan, that tie looks like an ascot, dude. You look like Charles Nelson Reilly.
I'm classy. I am classy, sir.
Yeah, when I think of ascot, all I think of is Fred from Scooby-Doo. So, yeah, you stay classy, Dan.
You look like Rip Taylor.
Well, Fred from Scooby-Doo was a nice-looking man.
He was a handsome chap.
Absolutely.
Earl.
Oh, Daphne.
Well, I could fill up the rest of the show with the reasons why Vegas is a atrocious idea for a place to put the Hall of Fame. First of all, nobody cares about MMA that much in Vegas more so than they do any other major city. Only thing people give a shit about in Vegas is $1.99 shrimp cocktail and free play on penny slots on Thursday. Vegas is every party city's douchey brother. Nobody, it's just the worst place. The climate in like X amount of month, half the year, the climate is just unbearable. There's no, like, Zupa headquarters, fight capital of the world, be damned. That's, because you're going to put it by like the M&M store on the strip by the Mandalay Bay. It's just absurd. So I would put it in Brazil. I would put it in kind of sticking around with other Hall of Fames, like, you know, Canton, Cooperstown. I would want to put it, and I'm going to give away one of my votes here. I would put it in Belém, Brazil, which is the birthplace of Helio Gracie. That's where I would put it myself.
My issue with having it in Brazil, and I really do like the idea, is travel. I mean, MMA only really started to pick up in Brazil as a whole once, especially the UFC was when they started running cards down there. And as a scared white American myself, the thought of going to Brazil these days for them to play 5-on-5 with my head, it's a little unsettling, Earl. I need to be honest with you. It would need to be big enough to where it'd be worth the pilgrimage. I also don't like Vegas because it would just seem so cheap and tacky there, although it could use the boost from people traveling in to watch fights. I really love Dan's idea of Denver. I think that gets you away from the tackiness and the big floppy hats and outdoor awful Mai Tais of pale thigh Taurus walking down in loafers. But, and it does kind of give it an identity. Melissa, when I think of awesome, a real hotbed, someplace that the UFC has come to over and over and over again, I think of Western Pennsylvania. The UFC, it's a hotbed for activity. It's one of their favorite markets. They've had many, many, many card here. Of all the card they've had here, who can pick a favorite? You had Barry and Congo, and you had Barry and Congo. Really, you've just a treasure trove of history here. But honestly,
Barry and Congo.
Who can forget Barry and Congo?
Other than Pat Barry and Chet Congo.
I honestly, to this one, I don't have a great idea. I think they should put it up to a fan vote. Hey, use Fight Pass for something.
Other than getting sunned by WWE Network.
Badly. I don't like Vegas. I like the Denver idea. I would also like some place like Houston, where you know they've run some major shows there. And I like an idea like Toronto a lot too. Hockey Hall of Fame is.
The other thing you crossed my mind was
you really want to give. Wait, you really want to give Texas another great thing about MMA?
Hey, shut up!
I'm not getting any in my home. So for the love of God, I might as well give it to my honorary UFC home. So, like I said, Toronto, that's another one I really like. They've had massive shows there. Toronto's an awesome city that people travel all over the world for. You know, you put it next to the NHL Hall of Fame, and now, boom, you have like a Hall of Fame district. So, but there is no definitive answer, but Vegas would just be, you know, okay, we get down to see the Siegfried and Roy impersonators. And let's go to the Wax Museum, and let's go look at Art Jimmerson's boxing glove. It's really... Nolan, where do you want the MMA Hall of Fame?
I think you should do it in New York, to stick it to New York.
That's right, my friend. Times Square, right next to Guy Fieri's restaurant.
Yeah, put it right under the Bubba Gumps.
Right where WWE World used to be.
Remember when the Big Show used to bring everyone mozzarella sticks during Sunday Night Heat before pay-per-views?
Well, they might as well take WWE sloppy seconds at this point.
Use the WWE app to get a WWE appetizer. Buy one, get one with the WWE appetizer.
We can all put it in the ashes of the Death Clutch Gym in Alexandria, Minnesota, for the man that put him on the map. I would have to say Vegas. It sucks, but Dana's gonna want to put it like when somebody finally burns down the Tough Gym for good reason. Might as well put it there.
Chlamydia outbreak.
We're gonna put it in the Tough Gym. That'd be hilarious.
Hopefully, somebody just gets tired of it and burns it down. With Ronda Rousey inside.
oh right, we're talking about murdering Rousey here now.
No, we've talked about murder. Insurance policies are up to date.
We never really stopped talking about it, to be honest.
I'm distancing myself.
You've got to tell Demon Cat to not do that. It's terrifying.
But I think Vegas is the quote-unquote fight capital of the world. It's either that or Brazil or Japan, and honestly, you're going to want to cater to the Americans where this was born and made.
America,
so Vegas it is, unfortunately. Maybe they can do it on the outskirts where I don't have to deal with, well, not that I mind it, but where I don't have to deal with hookers propositioning me right in front of the...
Yeah, what a big problem for you, Nolan, hookers.
Yeah, they put it
right next to the Bunny Ranch. God, can you imagine if they have it in Vegas, how tacky that gift store is going to be? Like, duty-free American Spirit cigarettes right next to your UFC merchandise. Well, what else does a Hall of Fame have, guys?
Naked Elvis impersonator.
It doesn't.
That's a Hall of Fame have, really?
Well, in my dreams. But no. We have Hall of Fame.
In my dreams, there's a naked fat Elvis.
We have
Emmanuel Yarborough's jockstrap.
We have Hall of Famers, and we have now a Hall of Fame. Now, what do we need? What does every great Hall of Fame have? A memorabilia collection. Ben, what is one piece of MMA memorabilia that if you were the curator of the MMA Hall of Fame, you absolutely must have in your Hall of Fame?
Joe San's testicles after Keith Hackney removed them in the ring.
They probably are in some sort of... They were probably lost in some sort of cardboard box cutter knife fight in prison where he's spending the rest of his days.
Hopefully.
Somebody got him with a burnt edge of a toothbrush.
Tele Telu's tooth. The first fight ever in the UFC. And we have an actual souvenir to use.
That... Tele Telu's tooth.
I think
this is Family Feud. You're getting a giant X right over your.
Which
head.
No, I know.
Which tooth fairy
serious.
Will bring that to us, Ben? Larry the Cable Guy
I'm
or The Rock?
Actually, being serious. I'm just
or
I'm
Nick.
Making a joke.
Nick the
but
tooth
if we're guy. Being serious, the first thing that they have to do is like it's almost taken on mythical proportions. Art Jimerson's glove, the one glove he wore.
They'll have to wrestle it from my safety deposit box in my bank first.
I mean, I don't know if they still have it, but I think that would be a good thing to use, you know?
I'm going
to
be buried with it.
Other than that, I would say probably the old UFC belts. If they can get a hold of it, Royce Gracie's original gi, the one he first used.
Connor?
Yeah,
that's kind of my thoughts too. I wish I could be getting a drink while I hear Ben talk about things.
I was paying homage to Ben.
I don't blame you. I have three things in mind for a memorabilia collection at a MMA Hall of Fame. I would want to get the first Pride ring and the mat because I think that'd be great. I'd want to get the UFC 1 cage and mat. And then I would want to get Mark Coleman because he doesn't have anything else to do.
He's just a greeter. Hi.
Hi. Are you Mark Coleman or are you just someone that looks like him? I don't know.
Now we know how Ken Shamrock's paying back his legal fee. Hawking snowstones in the middle of the floor of the UFC Hall of Fame.
$4.99, world's most dangerous snow cone. $4.99.
They'll freeze you into the living death.
Ankle lock your taste buds. $4.99.
Oh my god!
Dan,
this WWE
I'm sorry.
Keeps coming back around.
It's really full circle. Daniel,
man, ever since Nolan was talking about Emmanuel Yarbrough's jockstrap, I've just been all hot and bothered. But
pants fitting weird.
If I can,
he's got to loosen that ascot pretty soon.
Anyways, on to what I would like to add. Memorabilia standpoint, I don't know exactly, but what I would like to see is when you enter the Hall of Fame, there's like a moat filled with alligators. To me, just that would be awesome. Just the rumors of the initial idea, a moat full of alligators, maybe like a little hole where you don't see the hole, but if you go the wrong, you just fall in the moat just for excitement. As far as I like Connor's idea of having like fighters present, you know, we talk about fighters, what do they do after they compete? Let's bring them in the Hall of Fame, like a little thing where, oh, you want to be a fighter? We'll throw you in against Rico Rodriguez. You want to fight Tim Sylvia? Let's fight Tim Sylvia.
Wait, isn't Rico still active, though?
Well, so is Bob Sapp. I mean, there's two kinds of active. There's UFC Bellator active, and then there's Fight Nights in Moscow, Russia active. And Rico is Fight Nights in Moscow, Russia active.
Yeah, well, at least he's trying.
Well...
Then yeah, stop disparaging the good name of Rico goddamn Rodriguez.
Hey, he got screwed by the Pride judges against Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira.
And
still
Donald.
Pissed about it.
Yeah.
He really endeared himself to me on Celebrity Rehab, so.
I didn't even know that.
Personally, I was waiting for someone to mention the great last WEC middleweight champion. This is a trivia question. Who can answer it first?
Paulo Filho.
Chael P.
Paulo Filho.
Paulo Filho.
Chael P. never won the title.
P. because Paulo Filho went crazy and missed weight. And then her voice is
trying to find a third man in the octagon.
About the great WC light heavyweight champion.
Steve Cantwell.
The biggest bust. He was so...
Do we ever find out what happened at Cantwell?
Yeah, he lost like five in a row and then got released.
No, it was a medical thing.
He was released.
He needed testosterone.
Are you sure? I know he lost like five in a row or something like that.
Are you sure, Ben?
Yeah.
Earl, what are you having in your Hall of Fame?
Well, in my Hall of Fame, I feel like there should be some kind of simulator to see what it would feel like to be on the receiving end of maybe a Rampage Jackson slam or blast double from JLP or something like that, or have simulated Mark Hunt do a flying butt drop on your head.
I would love to see these.
That'd be painful. No one.
Yeah, we might have dead fans.
I'm gonna have to develop a face sitting fetish.
That'd be painful. You're gonna get a squashing fetish for yourself.
That'd be very dangerous on Nolan's hard on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
The only one thing that I could think of that I kept kind of coming back to is just having just like. I mean, obviously you want, like, memorabilia, like, gloves and everything like that, but I'd like to see just, like, a the best fighter and just gloves from weight class starting at women's strawweight all the way up to, like, Shane Carwin, Hongman Choi gloves that are, like, you know, the size of a billboard, just in a row, just to kind of, like, compare those things. Like, you know, you've got, like, you know, Andre the Giant's, like, hand or whatever and all those... the WWE things, like how big his ring was or whatever, stuff like that to kind of show what like it's really like to kind of be in there, what it's like to get, you know, hit in the face by something bigger than your face, like Shane Carwin's fist.
Well, then they could even take that further. You know, they could have like the shortest fighter, then you have like an average fighter, then you have like a big fighter, like Shep and Stru, you know?
Like DJ and Stru, or DJ and Semi?
I want to see cup sizes. I want to see cup sizes. You just take cups from different fighters.
What a shock.
We'll call that the Dan Galvin Diamond MMA.
You can have a competition. That is my section. I love it.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking, though, is like, you know, it's kind of like at the end of the tour, just to maybe bring a little light and levity to the situation so you don't walk out of the Hall of Fame like this testosterone-fueled moron in a puff paint shirt. Like, you at the end of the thing is like the end of the Haunted Mansion, how they put you in the chair at Disneyland with the ghosts on either side of you. I feel like you should walk through like a hall, and all there is on those a million multiplex monitors is every groin kick in the history of UFC, and it's an audio of Joe Rogan going, "Oh, let's see that again. Oh, right on the button. Oh, the button. Like, that's what needs to happen right as you're walking out, I think."
Oh, and
they put you in a little cart as you're going up, and like a mechanical foot hits you in the nuts while you're sitting on the cart.
Rogan's like, "Oh man!"
We'll have Joe Rogan, you know, be the one kicking you. That would be even better. With his Taekwondo background, he'd be perfect for it.
Luke, what about you?
As far as, well, you guys, Earl kind of tied into my next question, which was what exhibits and other such a tease would you have in there? Because a good Hall of Fame, you got to have exhibits. And also Exhibit. I think he's available. But as far as merchandise...
Well, without Pimp My Ride, he for sure is.
That's why he's available, Ben. Mm-hmm. Oh, literal Ben. You see, Ben, his show's not on the air anymore, so... It's got free
on the air for like 7 years.
Luke, did you say Exhibit was available?
I don't know if he's romantically available, but I think he might be available for work.
I might have to exhibit something of my own to Mr.
Oh my god.
This is going off the rails.
Luke.
Here's what I want to have. I want to have the big ass pride drum with with sumoed drummer included, if possible.
Linhart.
That is awesome call.
I want to have Genki Sudo's friendship flag. Because that would brighten anybody's day. And I think when you walk in like a certain area, you should just have like pride, like pyro and steam and stuff go off, and you should feel what it's like to you now. What I would like to have is something where you come out from behind a curtain, and they have just like a perfect simulation of what it's like to walk to the cage. Also,
you need to pick your music and everything too.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
that would be.
I'm pretty sure WWE actually has that. Ultimate
Fighter.
I'm pretty sure WWE has that, like for WrestleMania.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be really good. And also, they need to have. I would absolutely, as a fight nerd, I mean, as a guy who collects fight posters, I would lose my mind at just one giant room of just every poster. Also, if they could have like an authentic, actually used UFC cage, an authentic used Pride ring, an authentic Yama pit fighting whatever.
Awesome. Oh my god.
Because as someone who, incoming humble brag, has actually stepped foot in a UFC cage, that's an experience that, man, that was great. And that's an experience that a lot of people should have to be, because you can't, when you go to the Football Hall of Fame, you don't walk onto an NFL field. You know, they have the preseason game there. But when you go to Cooperstown, you don't walk onto a diamond. But that would be something that would be an awesome experience. And actually, you just have on the cage what event it was from, so you can be like, man, I mean, Brock Lesnar walked on here. You know, I was in the same cage that he was. That Krokop was in this very ring, and he knocked out Vovchanchen right there in that corner. Like, that would be amazing.
We'd have some grass from Kimbo Slice's backyard.
a beat up Olds Cutlass on blocks. A charcoal grill.
I hope they have the WEC cage for little guys like me, so I can know when it's like
a playpen.
They should totally have Tim Sylvia's little scooter, just for shits and giggles.
And Tim Sylvia's shitted trunks. In this special room, you need to rub Vicks on your nose before you walk in. It's like a crime scene.
Can we just have Tim Sylvia there?
He's one of the greeters too, with Mark Coleman. Ryan Bader will be there eventually too.
And Dustin Poirier will be the greeter for the diamond room. You know,
Dustin Poirier has a weapons check.
Poirier's frisking people.
Dustin Poirier is too much to feature. You can have Dustin the Diamond Kimura in front of the diamond room.
I want a Diamond Dallas Page there, man. He can promote his hot yoga, his DDP crap. Yeah.
He could bring Scott Hall along.
I want Lou Diamond Phillips there, my
Scott Hall will be there. He'll be out front. He'll be out in front of the Hall of Fame begging for change.
In the DDP yoga. Although I am kind of worried that nobody was watching Scott Hall on Monday.
Out amongst his own. Yeah, holy shit.
That's not good.
Vegas Knight wasn't there to threaten him with Damian. No.
Do you think DDP had Scott Hall like backstage and locked the door and not letting him out?
That's what he should be doing. God, can you imagine?
What's the worst that could happen to Scott Hall on his own? Get signed by TNA. What's the worst thing?
He's the next X Division champion.
But in all seriousness,
X stands for ecstasy.
This has devolved so.
Shut up, man.
As far as exhibits go, obviously you got to have a studio there so you can be in there live when Stem recorded Face of the Pain.
Oh,
you could be the gladiator.
Give
the
me
old ready. UFC opening.
Oh my god.
They should definitely have some tough trophies.
Yeah, you
Amir
could.
Sidala is one of the greeters.
You could attach it onto the Tough House and then put, you know, a room like, this is where Darren Cruikshank got hit in the balls with the water bottle, or.
Oh, this is where they took an upper decker. This is where Chris Lieben took a piss on a guy. This is.
And then in every room,
he pissed on his bed sheets, not the guy himself.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. My memory of mixed martial arts water sports is
fake. This is where they talked about loving to bang, bro.
Thinking about that, what absolutely infuriates me is the fact that not only
did he... I would just like... Go ahead, Ben.
It's not enough that he peed on the bed.
He had to spread it around with his hand.
Well, yeah.
Peeing on the bed is not something we should make fun of, Ben. It's a serious issue.
With Dad, not everyone's still 12.
With certain right? individuals who are of proper age.
And finally, Dan doesn't wet the bed. He actually steps off of the bed, looks over, pees onto it.
And gets back on.
Then laughs.
I'm sorry. Okay, Nolan, please.
Finally, just a history of the UFC's production qualities. Narrated by the great Rich the G-Man Goins.
Rich Goins.
Fight fan.
This guy! Gracie!
He repeated himself for no reason.
I couldn't understand.
I really think the MMA Hall of Fame in Western Pennsylvania has got legs, fellas. I really think it's got some go.
You know, I've got some ideas for exhibits, too, since I didn't get to answer that question. We kind of jumped in.
Whoa!
Not saying
we're
anything.
We're not Connor and not Nolan.
But I wanted to see 5 different exhibits, and I was actually thinking about it hard. I want to see an exhibit that talks about the different tournaments in mixed martial arts history. You know, the classic ones in the UFC, the open weight tournaments in Pride, the 2005 middleweight Grand Prix Pride tournament, like stuff like that. That would be something awesome. I'd also like to see a section or an exhibit that talks about BJJ versus Vale Tudo and the history there. I want to see an exhibit detailing the issues and political fighting between UFC and Pride. I want to see an exhibit about the Gracies versus Japan, just so Kazushi Sakuraba gets, you know, a rightful place since he wasn't in the first card of the MMA Hall of Fame. And I'd want to see pro wrestling versus MMA. You know, Brock Lesnar, Josh Barnett, a couple other guys, Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn, Don Fry. I mean, the list goes on of MMA fighters that went into professional wrestling and then back again.
You got me thinking about those tournaments, the old rings tournaments.
Mm-hmm. That was another good one.
Those were great. Bum bum. And this, the Pride theme is played the entire time you're there, just on a continual loop. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Oh, you could pay money and have Pride ring announcer you scream your name.
Oh my god,
dude.
She could just scream incoherently and pretend that she's telling you, saying your name. It's
the same thing. It would still be the greatest thing ever.
I think we've all
rather have the G-Man do it for me.
Nolan, how?
oh, God, or the Yama guy. Let's get ready to shake it up.
If I could get Joe Martinez really? To do it.
Oh, they definitely have to. Now that I think about it, they definitely have to have something for Bruce Buffer.
Could they have Bruce Buffer's velvet
ridiculous suit he wore in the
They can have a rematch between Frank Trigg and Bruce Buffer.
I think for $15 and a pack of Camel menthols, you can have Tachi Palace ring girls walk you in.
I think we have an Affliction Hall, and it's literally just 3 nice sculpted LOL, and then you just leave.
There could be like things that you could do to benefit the MMA community as a whole as well. Like if you bring 3 Affliction or Silver Star,
Thomas Rios from the balls.
You could
like if you bring 3 Affliction or Silver Star shirts and you donate them at the door into a fire pit, you get $10 off your entrance.
It's like a canned food drive at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it'd be such a great idea.
Except it'll go to Dana's closet.
only the youth larges, bro.
Yeah,
I think God, there's 2 experiences.
Jerry Lawler could get free admission for 30 years.
Medium.
I think there's 2 experiences that we haven't touched on. The first one is making weight. They should have a weight scale. You can get on the scale. You can miss weight. Know what it's like to be like John Lineker. The other the other one is commentating. They got to have a commentating booth. They can play a fight. You can commentate. They'll
that's
have like
a really good idea.
They'll have a sheet like of all the crap they say. We're sponsored by Corn Nuts. Oh, a guillotine. They'll have a little piss bucket. A piss
got
bucket
it
like
deep.
A Goldberg just.
Some Xanax.
Yeah, you have to put a shock collar on, and every time you miss a sponsor, you get a little. You spritz in your pants a little bit.
You want to be Goldberg? There's a tanning thing right next to the commentating booth. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot.
You have a fan just blowing flop sweat on your neck.
You get every other assignments where like you have to mention Teep at least 10 times in one matchup.
Oh yeah, you can totally unlock and level up. Like if you like if they cut like a fight ends in front of your face and you get the camera catches you making the Mike Goldberg, Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman one face, then you get like.
The match has to be over. Submission has to be deep 5 times.
For souvenir pride tournaments, breath savers and candy at the UFC. Because you know how tacky the UFC is. You imagine how tacky that gift shop would be? Oh my god. Corn nuts and tournaments. It would just
Harley Davidson, toy motorcycle.
Diamond MMA cups.
Joe Sun's corn nuts.
All of their,
you get to mention how many times that Brian Stan's a world class striker.
Bonus points if a person's ever trained with Eddie Bravo, you get +4 for every positive comment you give them.
Oh my god.
No amateur wrestling terms, only 10th planet jiu-jitsu calls.
This is like the MMA nerds version of like the NASA flight simulator, like.
Is that a problem?
I meant that in the nicest way possible. Like to just go in there and talk about everyone's precise precision
so
would just
be
a
does that mean I can take Ronda Rousey with me in the Challenger?
We have a really bad trend with Ronda Rousey and certain outcomes.
Did you see the picture of Rousey and Sarah McMahon today?
Yeah, mean girl face activated. God,
so great.
What a pleasant dame she is.
Oh, no.
This is just a picture of Rousey, like, scowl activated, and Sarah McMahon's right by her, just, like, as happy as could be, just totally cheesing out. Like,
where's
so
Josh?
And her t-shirt said, like, I create smiles. That's literally
so
what
wonderful.
McMahon's.
What Josh Hall's entrance music is about to hit right now.
Josh is not with us today because unfortunately he did not take the Hall of Fame news very well, and he told me that any sort of Hall of Fame talk might lead to a Josh Hall sized hole in his wall as he just dives into it head first. But he will be back with us next week, and he's faithfully viewing, and his blood's boiling that his favorite player of all time missed by 2 stupid votes, and which he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Who?
Craig Biggio. You don't even know who that is, Ben.
Yes, I do. He was on the Astros for a long time. I know.
What position did he play?
Third base.
You're wrong.
He played two outfielder?
No, he played 2 positions, and those were neither of them.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know who he is, though.
Oh, my God, Ben.
What would he play, Connor?
I don't know. I'll admit to it, though.
I don't know what position he played. I'm
sorry. God, Ben,
you're
such
a dumbass.
Top
and bottom.
He was a designated hitter. What?
How many points did he have
on the Astros that I know who he is. That's
whatever, dude. He never scored any goals.
Funny.
How many touchdowns did he have?
I lack baseball knowledge, too. Was he first base and shortstop or second base and shortstop?
He was a catcher, and then he was a second baseman, and he was an all-star and elite at both of them. A rare feat in today's modern baseball, and one that should be acknowledged with a gorgeous plaque in lovely Cooperstown, New York. Basketball Hall of Fame's in Springfield, Massachusetts, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's home of Larry Bird or something.
That's French Lick, Indiana.
Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds had Hall of Fame numbers before they even started juicing, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, that's a whole other bag of corn nuts, Nolan.
When did Roger start juicing? I know Barry, like,
mid-90s, right?
It was after he washed out with the Red Sox the first time, and he got, like, He was on the Blue Jays for like a year and all of a sudden turned into a magical pitcher again.
Nice.
Yeah, the Barry Bonds thing is way easier because you're going to see him turning into Ken Griffey Jr. in a wheelchair from the Simpsons episode.
Yeah, exactly. Good call.
And not to mention Bonds sacrificed a field as a career as a great fielder and base runner to be a giant handicap man who could hit a
designated
base
hitter. Yeah, he went from a five-tool player to just like the fat beer league softball guy with 69 and Big Ham on the back of his T-shirt. Yeah, that's basically what Bonds was. And Big Dog's gonna eat.
I recall, if you hit to the outfield of Bonds when I was younger, which was like 2002, 2003, it would just be like him waiting, just waiting, and maybe taking two steps forward or back to catch the ball. Otherwise, he wasn't going for it.
No, and I'll never forgive Barry Bonds for throwing a 12-hopper that Sid Bream on one peg leg was able to beat out. The cost of Pirates the pennant in 1992, one of my first ever baseball memories. God damn you, Barry Bonds. You're a real piece of work.
We're
in
a completely different sport now, so.
No, let's talk about Baseball Hall of Fame, guys.
Well, okay, well, we're getting off the rails here.
I think Josh is going to kill himself as soon as he...
Well, that
Connor,
dark.
Go save him, please.
He's too far away.
Josh is a fine, upstanding man. And that's all I have to say about that.
We can agree.
That will do it for this week. We will be back next week on Monday to preview an actual by God fight card that's actually happening in normal people hours. It's been a while. So we'll be looking forward to that, even though it's a less than stellar card. We'll preview the UFC card and also any and all news that happens over the weekend. Like Dana trying to one up the UFC, the WWE network by offering everyone each their very own vintage Phil Baroni action figure with Fight Pass subscription. So we'll have all the news and views from over the weekend and or if Misha got into another brawl at the 7-Eleven. So until then, and on behalf of the soon-to-be Mixed Martial Arts Hall of Fame in lovely Erie, Pennsylvania, signing off for this week. We'll catch you Monday.